All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What's going on, David?
Oh, man. You know, I'm just riding high. How about you? How you doing?
Well, I don't know what to say because I got called out.
You did. We're going to get to that. You got seriously called out.
I'm going to have to like come up with a new like catchphrase.
I'm saying you better come up with one fast.
Well, you know what I do say sometimes?
What's that?
And it has the same meaning is when people say, how you doing? And I go, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Like, if you're really going to ask, like, you know.
Yeah, my go-to is, how you doing?
Right.
Right back at them.
Right.
Before they realize I didn't answer.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
How you doing, Penn? How am I doing? How you doing?
Yeah.
I like, remember Cheers, you know, the TV show?
Yeah.
And Norm would walk in and he'd have like a little snappy quip with Woody or Sam or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my favorite one is he walks in and goes, Sam goes, what's going on, Mr. Peterson? Or Woody goes, what's going on, Mr. Peterson? And Norm goes, let's talk about what's going in, Mr. Peterson.
Classic Cheers.
No, all right. So you want to keep it real?
Yeah,
keep it real. I'm all right. No, I'm all right. I had a great weekend. My triathlon squad was swimming up in Blue Marsh, up at that lake. So that was something unusual and kind of fun. That's called open water swimming, and so that was really good. And we had a couple good days in Ephrata, and I got to spend some time with Uncle Mike, who celebrated his birthday. He's 43 or 44, something like that. So yeah, I don't know. I had a nice weekend, a busy, productive day today. So I'm psyched to do the podcast and ready to rock.
Nice. Why don't we start off with this week's biggest news?
Okay.
And the biggest news we have this week is a big congratulations to the Phantom who graduated college.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's right.
When you say the Phantom, do you mean the Shadow?
The Shadow is what I meant.
Shadow, yeah.
Yeah. Remember how I get things right all the time.
And never make any mistakes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
The Shadow knows.
Damn, he's wicked smart.
How to graduate college.
The Shadow knows how to graduate college. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. That's true right there. So big congratulations to Sean.
That's no joke, man. That's big news. Congratulations. Yeah. That's really exciting. And I'm not sure, did we discuss the other big congratulations last week or 2 weeks ago?
No, we didn't.
I was a little...
We didn't.
I think I was trying to like not make his business everybody's business, but now that it's like a couple weeks, I don't feel like it's, you know...
Right.
Intrusive. So big shout out... to one of Penn Cinema's original staff and the guy who runs the whole show right now, Drew Schaefer. He's a dad.
Yeah, congrats, Drew.
Yeah, so him and Lexi have a beautiful baby girl, and we just couldn't be happier for them. And, yeah, that's really exciting. So, boy, look at the Penn Cinema family graduating from college and having babies.
Left, right, and center, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well.
All right.
Some less exciting
You know what we
news.
Do?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know what we do? We got to start with the news.
Right.
And it's not a news segment unless you're talking about Timothée Chalamet.
That's true. And this time we're not talking about Dune. I know you came at me hard this week. You said, where's the Dune news? And I said, look, I can't get you any straight up Dune news, but I got Timothée Chalamet news.
So, before we get to Timothée Chalamet, did I text you? Somebody, I think we all talked about this. Dune was in the news for having an exclusive theatrical release.
Right, right.
And, oh wait, maybe you haven't heard the new news.
And that it's back. Is it back now? What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. The president of Warner Distribution came out and said, no, that was a false news story. It's true. Now, Drew and I were speculating while David gets up off the floor. We were speculating that we think this can change again. So I don't think this is the end of it. My suspicion is that Dune is going to get an exclusive theatrical release. That news got out prematurely.
Oh.
And now the president is like, you know, trying to cover up his tracks and, you know, make sure he has lunch with the right people before they make the official announcements.
Right. Because what's going to happen is they're going to announce that for Dune. And they have a whole summer of other movies where the people are going to be like, wait, no, we want to do that too.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
So, yeah, but the current state of affairs has Dune being released, the current normal release schedule with HBO Max.
Well, as long as they don't pull a Scoob and put it out on HBO Max for a year and then put it in the theater.
A pre-theatrical window.
Yeah, pre-theatrical window. So back to Timothée Chalamet. Warner Brothers, they've cast him to play young Willy Wonka in an undefined prequel story due out March 17th, 2023. So, now, what I've read is that this isn't necessarily saying it's going to be a prequel to The Chocolate Factory. Mm-hmm. You might already have The Chocolate Factory, or it could be before The Chocolate Factory is there. But I think they're pretty much saying that it's not going to be a Chocolate Factory origin story.
It's a Willy Wonka origin story.
Yeah, or just a Willy Wonka story.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Well, I see what you
mean. Like, he could already be established Willy Wonka crazy guy, just younger.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds interesting.
It could be.
Yeah, I mean, Timothée Chalamet is fun to watch. He's talented, and yeah. This is due out in 2023, so right. Hopefully we'll learn more about it and see what – yeah, I think that's cool. By the way – Willy Wonka Wednesday night, the day after tomorrow, if you're a huge Willy Wonka fan, there's a one-time show that I snuck in. We have the content for a special event, and I decided to randomly stick it in the public show times as well. So if you're listening to this and you're a huge Willy Wonka fan, I don't know if anyone else will come to it, but I had space for it, and I put it on sale. So Wednesday evening, you can catch Willy Wonka at Penn Cinema in Lititz.
Nice. Penn, something I get asked all the time.
Yeah.
What's up with the drive-in? Is it coming back? What's going on?
The drive-in is really funny.
You got it out there. People aren't parking there anymore.
Right. And the funny thing is, like you said, is it coming back? It's been back.
Oh.
We use it for private parties and fundraisers for local nonprofits and occasionally public shows. But we, I don't quite know how to put this. It doesn't have enough content to warrant being open every day. And the other thing that's weird about it, so it was really awkward because I got this email from this lady who was like, when's the next drive-in? And my honest answer was, I don't know. So then I went on the Penn Cinema website and to look up when was the next drive-in, and I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, wait a minute. This is my movie theater, my website, my drive-in, and I can't even figure out
right.
like what's going on. So clearly, me and my team have some splaining to do in terms of, I mean, I know we're all on the same page in terms of like, we love having the drive-in as a resource when people want it,
right.
But it does not get an audience if we're just open every day. So it's kind of hit or miss. The other thing that we learned was that you would think that if you played like a new movie in, like for example, King Kong versus Godzilla would be a great movie for the drive-in. You know, big, popular, new, exciting movie that everybody's talking about, open to a massive opening weekend. And we had Godzilla. I think I'm thinking of the right movie. I'm almost sure of it. We played Godzilla opening night in the drive-in, and there was like six cars.
Oh.
It was like total waste of time. So I think the answer to your question is we're still learning how to take advantage of that. It was different in 2020 when that was our only option for showing movies. But I think people love going to the movie theater, and they, you know, they want to see movies, and people also love the drive-in. So what we're seeing is when people want to rent it out, people are using it for corporate events. Nonprofits are using it for fundraisers, and it's very popular and people do love it, but for whatever reason, we're just not maximizing on the day-to-day. So I guess the answer to your question is the best way to stay track, like when people ask you what's the deal with the drive-in, I think what you should tell people, what I've been telling people, is follow our Facebook page and we will be promoting drive-in nights when there are drive-in nights. Now, I will say one thing that I can answer clearly is our friends over at Wegmans have sponsored a summer series where every Wednesday night starting right after Memorial Day weekend, there's going to be a classic movie at the drive-in. In fact, I think it starts this week with Willy Wonka.
Oh.
And there's a classic movie in the drive-in every Wednesday night with all kinds of fun titles, everything from Willy Wonka to Jaws, Jurassic Park, you know, all these titles. So day-to-day, follow us on Facebook, but specifically Wednesday night, look for Wednesday night classics at the drive-in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot more confusing than I thought it was going to be.
The drive-in has been like a real sucker punch for us because we sort of felt like, you know, we had one thing and then, you know, it kind of snuck right up on us and we decided to keep the drive-in. So we're super excited about it and we don't want to cut it, you know, but it's just we're learning our way. We're learning another way.
Wow. Hey, I wish there was some way you could have helped me segue into the next news segment, as if you would have given me specific word cues that I could play off of, but they just weren't there, and I wasn't able to figure it out. Anyway, there's a new Snyder cut for the movie Sucker Punch. So, all right, so this is what happened.
All right, talk to me.
Zack Snyder was talking on some sort of whatever. You know, he just likes to talk. And they're like, well, what's going on? He's like, hey, look, I know there's already been a theatrical cut of this and a director's cut, but all I'm saying is there's a Snyder cut of it. And that's all I'll say. So basically he was like, fans, I haven't been talked about in like 5 days.
Right.
It's time for you to talk about me and for me to be relative and get this Snyder cut of Sucker Punch released, which has like a Rotten Tomatoes of like 40% or something like that. So,
right.
I mean, oh man.
Because the public is demanding more Sucker Punch.
Clearly. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, I did. I saw it when it came out. And I have to say, how do I put this? It was, I'm not going to call it a disappointment, but it was the type of movie that I think of when I think of movies where my expectations were so high and then a perfectly good movie was good, but it just did not live. I thought it was going to be amazing. And I kind of thought the movie was just okay.
Yeah. I'll go as far as to say the movie was just like, it wasn't horrible. It just,
right.
I wouldn't even say it was good. It was just not
it was all
it
right.
was bad. Yeah. But I was the same way. I was like, oh, this looks great. But it was not.
No.
So.
All right. So Henry Cavill is in talks to play the lead. Well, first of all, let's just not breeze by this. I have to go on record here. Our boy Zack Snyder, I'm getting a little tired of this.
Yeah?
Like, I want this to be the last time we're talking about a Snyder cut.
I tell you what, it's not. It's never going to be. Next is going to be Watchmen. He's like, hey, remember Watchmen?
Right.
And then he's gonna be like, I just made this movie for Netflix, Army of Zombies or whatever.
Right.
And but there's a Snyder cut of that.
All right. So lame. So lame.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that he's listening. And Zach, baby, darling, come on. Nah, bro. Knock it off. Do something.
Yeah.
Like, make a movie and we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Call us. We know you're listening.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So Henry Cavill is in talks to play the lead character in the cult classic Highlander.
Yeah.
Highlander would be directed by John Wick's Chad Stahelski. That's pretty good.
Perfect.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Perfecto mundo.
It is unclear if this is going to be like add on to Highlander lore or start fresh or a reboot, if you will. I haven't seen Highlander. The last time I saw Highlander was when it came out.
Do you remember the premise?
Sort of, not really.
Well, the movies I don't like, but I used to be really into the TV show when that was on. Whole idea is that there's these immortals, and if they can sense each other, and when they fight, and they cut one of them cuts the other's head off, they absorb all the power and knowledge of the person that they decapitated. And the idea is that eventually there should be only one immortal left. So anyway, I used to really be into Highlander. I think this would be really cool as a full reboot because the movies got really wacky and crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't.
That was going to be my vote because I feel like this is, what am I thinking of? This is similar to something else we've had where the movie was questionable. There was TV series which were bizarre. I can't quite think of what I'm thinking of, but I agree with you. This should be a fresh, clean slate. Introduce Highlander to a whole new audience,
right.
You know, and be gone. What do we think about Henry Cavill?
I mean,
is it Cavill?
Cavill. I think he's great.
Yeah.
Are you not a fan?
No, I'm a fan. I'm a hesitant fan.
Have you seen The Witcher?
Well, I'll tell you this. Henry Cavill is no Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Have you seen The Witcher?
No, I haven't. I was trying to dodge that question.
Penn, you got to watch The Witcher. It's so good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Put it on your list.
I'll put it on my list.
Okay, all right. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Invincible.
You know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is playing Black Adam in the new movie coming up, where he's an anti-hero for DC. But he's also playing another prominent DC character. Penn, if you could think of Dwayne The Rock Johnson doing the voice for another prominent DC character, which one would it be?
What's the name of that little tiny space alien with the green helmet and the two pointy things? And I think he's friends with Bugs Bunny.
Marvin the Martian?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. You're close, but he's playing Crypto. Superman's dog. In the new Super Pets movie.
Oh my god.
That will star Superman's dog.
Oh my god.
And Supergirl's cat. Potentially other super animals as well.
I don't even know what to say about that.
That's good information, isn't it?
That's hard-hitting journalism right there.
If you were like, what's with The Rock? What's he doing right now?
Right.
He's preparing for what might be the biggest role of his lifetime.
Okay. How about we just take one snarky step back? And look at it from a whole different viewpoint.
Oh.
What movie are we talking about?
It's called Super Pets.
Okay. I will just go out on a limb and settle myself down. If Dwayne The Rock Johnson is – and I think we can just call him Dwayne Johnson now. If Dwayne Johnson is playing the dog, this movie might be a bigger deal than we think.
What if I told you he was going to be dressed like a dog – and do it live action.
Stop.
On his hands and knees.
Stop it.
I I wish that was true.
Have you been smoking something celebrating Bob Dylan's birthday?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Actually, David, I agree. That would be freaking hilarious.
Right? Yeah. just reminds me. Remember that SNL skit where he played Bambi? It was just him with like a little, like a red, brown nose and like little antlers.
Oh my god!
Anyway,
all right. Do we have any Marvel news?
We have some Marvel news. Kevin Feige. This is actually some pretty good news. I mean,
this is actually, like, all kidding aside, really interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought, consistent with the last few months we've been talking about and noticing the trends in the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
yeah,
including what we're watching at Disney Plus, the trends towards really maturing and open mind, and it's just like really good stuff. So walk us through it. I think it's really cool news.
Okay, so Kevin Feige says Doctor Strange's whitewashing was definitely the wrong move. And this is specifically speaking of the casting of Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. Now, they had a couple things here going against them.
Wait a minute, before we get into this, whitewashing is when people, you know, who make casting decisions cast white actors,
yeah,
in roles that really should be played by people who are Asian or, you know, of it, whatever the role might be, an appropriate ethnicity.
Right.
But they sort of change the role around and give the role to, you know, Tilda Swinton or some other, you know, white actor or actress.
Right.
So what Kevin Feige is saying is that's what we did, and it was the wrong thing to do.
Right. The struggle that they were up against is it's a Tibetan character. They wanted the movie to do good in China, which does not have good relations with Tibet or recognize Tibet. So they were like, how do we get around this? Also, it's very stereotyped for Asians, so they wanted to get around that. And they thought they were being creative. And here's what he said. We thought we were being so smart and so cutting edge. We're not going to do the cliche of the wizened old wise Asian man. But it was a wake-up call to say, well, wait a minute. Is there any other way to figure it out? Is there any other way to both not fall into the cliche and cast an Asian actor? And the answer to that, of course, is yes. So they could have. He's saying that they should have cast an Asian actor to play the role and not made it a stereotype. They could have figured it out, and they took what they thought was a good out, and it turned out to, in retrospect, not be one. So,
yeah, I think that's very. That shows some of the accountability that we don't see in a lot of other high-end Hollywood folks, you know, who sort of, you know, Mr. Feige is owning, you know, his process or their process and whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to give the guy a Nobel Peace Prize, but it's cool that he can see this and have that self-awareness and talk about it. And you have to believe that will help him be better moving forward.
Yeah. So along these lines, Eternals, a movie we're going to talk about in a little bit, has a lot more inclusivity, is that the right word, with it as well. We're going to see the first openly gay superhero with a gay kiss, and we also have a deaf superhero. So I think that's really interesting.
Wow.
So
that is cool. And by the way, I'm sorry to jump in here. It's totally non-related, but you just reminded me when you said deaf superhero. Penn Cinema is attempting to be more consistent with our open caption film offerings.
How so?
And so we are doing that starting this week with open caption shows once a day in different time slots so that, you know, if you prefer a matinee versus an evening or whatever. But so we're going to start with Quiet Place and Cruella in the hopes that we can sort of develop that consistent offering. I spent some time with some people in the deaf community and spoke with them about what they're looking for and what I can do to help make our product more accessible to them. And the consistent thing that I heard from them was, you know, it can't be like, you know, oh, here's one, and then 3 weeks later there's one, and then 2 days later there's one, but then it's another month till there's another one, and, you know, that kind of thing. So we're going to try to, now that I think, we were doing that pretty consistently in 2019, and I think we'd gotten away from it just a little bit, and then COVID hit. And so as I start to put my pieces back together, one of the pieces that we're putting back together for Penn Cinema is a more consistent offering of open caption titles. And you and I have talked about this on the show before, because it's not just the deaf community that enjoys the open captions. There's definitely some moviegoers who prefer, who like that.
Yeah. Have you ever looked into the glasses that have the captions?
We have them. We already have them. We've had them ever since we opened.
Cool. They work.
Not everybody likes them.
Okay.
The glasses we have, we also have open captions where you stick a thing in your cup holder and it has like an arm, and then the captions sit like down in front of your eyesight. And those are, again, they're okay. Not everybody likes them. And quite frankly, they don't always work.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know why. I mean, it's not anything that we're doing. And I've, you know, spent time many hours researching this and talking to other theater owners and vendors and people in this business. And we have what is widely agreed to be the top of the line industry standard for open captioning. And it's still like, I mean, it's like the kind of thing, like, it usually works.
Yeah.
But what is that? You know, what kind of statement is that, you know, to your deaf friend who, you know, yeah, come see a movie with me and we'll give you an open caption device and it'll probably work.
Yeah. Maybe you'll like, wind up just sitting there, you know?
Right. Maybe, you know, what the hell? I can't tell you how frustrating that is to me as a business owner when I'm trying to, you know, communicate, you know, my inclusivity and accessibility and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm trying to do the right thing, not just because I want credit for it, but mostly because I want people to be able to come and share in seeing the movies. And then it just breaks my heart, you know, that it doesn't work and that I can't consistently provide that for them. But yes, I feel like it's safe to say we've tried everything. And the one thing that I find consistently works the most is open captions. On the screen, open captions.
Just this week, I was speaking with a coworker who only has one eye, and he's always had vision problems where he only had one eye that really worked. And he was telling me about how he would get taken to the movies, to 3D movies, and no one would consider the fact that 3D doesn't work when you just have one eye. And he would just be sitting there watching the movie, and what is it, blue, I think, is on your right side?
Yeah.
And just not understanding what the big deal was, not comprehending what it right. does, like the Ed, because he doesn't have the other polarization. So
that must have been an old story, because they don't do the blue and red and green, whatever that.
But even if you do the polarized, it doesn't work because it's right. one half.
Yeah. Right, right. But, oh, boy.
Anyway.
All right.
Speaking of handicaps, Jason Momoa, he's written Aquaman 2, apparently. That's what he's claiming. But then he also says that he wrote it with somebody else, and that when they were done, they handed it over to someone else to finish it. So what do you think that – what percentage of the Aquaman 2 script do you think that Jason Momoa has written? Handwritten, like himself.
I'm trying so hard.
Yeah.
I'm trying so hard to have an open mind, because I do not know Jason Momoa, and I'm sure that he is a bright and intelligent young man, but he does not look like a guy who writes scripts.
Right, right.
So I'm going to say not much.
I'm thinking he and the other guy sat in a room maybe 2 or 3 times for a couple hours. And the guy was like, yeah. And then Aquaman walks in the room and he's like, what's up? And Jason Momoa's like, no, he'd be like, sup. And he's right. like, all good.
right, right.
Starts typing away.
Yeah, you know? I don't think they were in a room having that conversation. I think they were in a weight room.
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
And here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
The biggest news story of the week.
Woo! Oof, bigger than graduating college.
Bigger than turning 80.
Whoa.
Bigger than having a baby.
Yeah.
John Boyega and Joe Cornish are a go for Attack the Block 2.
Yeah. Have you seen Attack the Block?
I don't think so.
People love it and I hate it. So, you know, whatevs. So, but here's the thing. People say it's like Goonies with aliens. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. I don't like Goonies. So.
You don't like Goonies?
We've been over this. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
And it was not a great experience.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the news for the week. And now we're on to my favorite section, the trailers. This is my second favorite section behind the listeners' news notes and answers. And so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trailers today. I have an easy trailer of the week. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. I have an easy top two. And then I feel like it falls off.
Yeah, I have an easy top two.
Maybe top three.
Maybe top seven.
And there's one in there that's so bad, I want to put it. Okay, maybe top four.
Okay, and then there's that one.
Then there's one with Al Pacino, so we'll just call that my top five. So there's like my top five, and then there's one that has like a great review. So I have like my top six, and then all the rest. And all the other one.
Yeah.
But I definitely do not want to talk about the other one.
All right. Where do you want to start?
Let's start at the top.
Okay. So big news today.
Dun, dun,
the reason we held the podcast to Monday.
Right.
Eternals dropped its teaser. And we're not talking the big go back to the theater thing that they put out before. That was, you know, it's the Eternals teaser. No, that wasn't the Eternals teaser. It was great, but it wasn't the Eternals teaser. What'd you think of this trailer?
I really enjoyed it. This was, I want to say this was my trailer of the week, but Dear Evan Hansen was just amazing looking.
Yeah.
I would say Eternals is my trailer of the week. I think this looks really exciting. It's Marvel and it's Avengers and it's all that, but it also just looks like so much more.
Yeah. I've already gotten some text of confusion from people about when does this take place? It looks like it's in the past, but then the last scene is they talk about the Avengers, like what's going on here? And I think it's like they're the Eternals, as in like they're always around. They're basically immortals. So the best way I can describe, if you're not familiar, is think of how Thor and Asgard has always been around. But it wasn't until the movie Thor that he started actively taking part in human culture again, because I guess he did back when the Vikings were around, but
right.
You know, he's only actively, you know, back now. Yeah. So because the questions of where were they during the, you know, during Infinity War or whatever. It's like, I don't have the answers. The movie's not out yet.
I love how you are responsible for all Marvel.
Seriously.
All the inconsistencies and plot holes and questions. Podcast at Penn Cinema. Dear David, what gives?
What's up? I expect really good questions from Frodo, who probably knows the answers, but is just trying to just trying to get me.
Right.
So I thought this was great. I thought the costuming, the visuals look great. The only thing is it doesn't tell us anything about anything.
Like, there's no I didn't feel like I knew what the plot was.
Yeah, who are they? What are they doing? We don't know. They just look cool.
You know. Is there a bad guy? We don't know. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So our next trailer of the week, our next trailer this week is called Endangered Species. Now, this is a movie that is not good. It comes out this coming weekend, but we're not getting it at any of the Penn Cinema locations. We're really hoping that our competitors down there are going to hog up all their screens playing this. So, you know how sometimes when we're talking about a movie that I watch and I judge the quality of the movie by how quickly I run out to get my second cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I watch trailers, like when I watched the Eternals trailer, like I was glued to it.
Right.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. So I'm watching the trailer for Endangered Species and my mind starts wandering.
Almost instantly.
So I start scrolling down.
Yeah.
Right. So I start scrolling down the reviews, and I saw this review for this trailer. The movie's called Endangered Species. It looks dumb. But here's the review that I found, or the comment that I found regarding this trailer. This trailer for the movie that has not yet been released in theaters.
Right.
Here's the comment. I already found this movie in that random DVD bin in the middle of the aisle at Walmart next to the rotisserie chickens.
Wait, I saw a good one too. Let me find the one that I saw. Here it is. Let's see here. That was an entertaining short movie. I'm so glad the producers decided to release the whole movie on YouTube like this.
Right. In other words, the whole movie was contained in the trailer.
In the trailer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this looks pretty terrible. Don't waste your time. The next trailer this week.
Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah. This looks great. Now, this movie apparently has come under some controversy.
Oh, why?
Well, the guy playing Evan is the same guy, I believe, who played him on Broadway.
Right.
But he is now much older. And, he's going to be playing this young character. And I think all the supporting cast is going to be more age appropriate, and he is much older. And there's kind of a thing like, why are they doing this? Personally, I feel like it's one of those situations where he's the guy who's been doing it for so long. Like, and from the trailer, clearly he's the guy who should be doing it. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's listen, if that's a controversy, I can live with that. I watched the trailer, and not being hip to that controversy, I did not notice that he was, older. Now that you say it, I kind of get what you're saying. I hear the issue, or I see the issue. But when I was watching the trailer clean without any of that in my mind, I didn't think of it. I didn't notice it. It didn't take away from my ability. He was believable as a high school senior.
It may, and I don't know. It may have to do with some of the relation stuff with the female character that looks much younger.
Character is our buddy Caitlin Devil. What's her name? That's not the right. It's not.
I don't know. She looks young.
She was in Booksmart.
Oh yeah.
Dever. Not Devil, Dever. Caitlin Dever, I think.
Yeah.
And I love her, and I thought she was – if she's the girlfriend, I thought she was age-appropriate with him. Like, I could see her being the same age as him.
Yeah, I think it's more of a real-life thing. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I didn't read all the articles.
All right. So well, listen. On. No. Before we move on, this is an incredibly powerful story. This is an incredibly beautiful musical. This will strike home to, anybody who has ever felt like they were alone in the world for a minute. I cried my eyes out just watching this trailer. I'm not even sure that I have the emotional fortitude to watch the full thing, but I'm psyched. This movie comes out in September, when I think there's a pretty quiet time in the movie season. And Dear Evan Hansen, I think, is going to be a big movie in the fall. And we'll talk about it again when Jason the Game Master has been asking us, or he's been posting trailer links, but he was also this week asking us our questions about musicals. I think Dear Evan Hansen is going to be a big hit.
Yeah, I agree. The music
September.
Was amazing
in yeah.
the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next, you said that the Endangered Species was found in the $5 bin. This is another movie that could probably be found in the $5 bin called American Traitor, The Trial of Axis Sally. You know what I was thinking the whole time I'm watching this movie? We have a movie here. This movie could be good if it was played with other people. I don't know. Like, it just was like falling really flat. But I was like, this story sounds really interesting. I bet they could make a better movie out of it. What do you think?
I'm trying to think of the right words. I agree, and yet Al Pacino is a great, like, all right, here's how I see it.
Everyone but Al Pacino.
Here's how I see it. this movie is a great example of 2 + 2 = 3.5.
Boom.
Right?
Boom.
They seem to have all the right ingredients. They have a great story. They got a seemingly great cast. But something about it came across cheap and flimsy, and here's the deal. It sounds like a TV, or it plays like a TV movie,
yeah.
Like a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
So, whatever. But on the other side of that same coin, an actual TV movie coming out called Lissy's Story. It's coming out on Apple TV, but we're including the trailer because even though this is a made-for-TV movie, this movie looks amazing.
Mm.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Julianne Moore, Clive Owen, Jennifer Jason Leigh, based on a Stephen King story, is coming out on Apple TV. This looks amazing.
Yeah. And you'll be one of the three people that watch it who has Apple TV. So once they get all three of you, they made their money, I guess. I
right.
Maybe.
So I don't want to beat a dead horse here, David.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But you reminded me of something I read today.
What?
I read a headline where a business analyst was talking about how successful F9 was opening overseas.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the speculation was perhaps the streaming of feature films isn't as economically successfully more advantageous than box office releases after all.
I mean, duh.
Duh, right? Like, what? We've been talking about it for 15 months. 15 months? I've been talking about it for 2 years. Like,
seriously.
Oh my God, these streaming wars have everybody so confused. And, you know, all these idiots posted stuff during the pandemic about how, you know, now this is definitely the end of the movie business. And, you know, you can get these movies at home. And it just is so maddening to see these same idiots starting to write this, you know, maybe actually the movies aren't dead.
What?
What? If any of these idiots would listen to the Penn Cinema podcast, they would have known.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Let me give you an example that proves that cinema is not dead. It's the trailer for a movie that Penn made me watch called It's a Cop Thing. a movie that came out over a year ago that was made by, let's just call them people, that exist, that are real. Not a studio, just people. And it's very much like Loaded Weapon or Naked Gun or Airplane. It's like that type of humor, which is great. But there are lots of green screening going on. I just don't understand, one, how this came across your screen, and two, what brought you to bring it to me on the show.
Okay. Well, here's your first sign of how you know this movie is in trouble. It stars a guy.
Uh-huh.
And is produced by the same guy.
Probably written.
Written by the same guy. It co-stars somebody with the same last name as that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's all these buddies. So, but it's an interesting lesson for all you aspiring filmmakers. Okay, so first of all, you asked me a bunch of questions, and I want to answer all of them, David.
Okay, all right.
The last question that you asked me was, why am I making you watch this?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the answer to that question is because you have one person to thank, and it's not me.
I have one person to thank, and it's not you?
Yep. Encyclopedia Brown watched the trailer for this movie, and he said to me, oh, I can't even find the quote, but he said to me something similar to what you said, like, how is this movie even getting a release? Like, how does this, this is the worst trailer I've ever seen in my life, or, you know, something along those lines. And hang on, I want to pull it up because it made me laugh out loud. He said, So I just watched the trailer for It's a Cop Thing. Is that seriously getting a theatrical release? And then he said, it makes Vanquished. Remember Vanquished?
Yeah.
We just watched it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He goes, it makes Vanquished look like Schindler's List.
And then he goes,
it should be a bonus movie review for the podcast.
Can you get us a copy of this movie? It's out on DVD.
Get you a copy. It's playing this weekend at Penn Cinema.
Shut up. Are you serious?
I swear to God.
What? All right. How? Why?
So, right. So that leads to the next set of questions that you had for me that I want to answer. So, boys and girls, aspiring filmmakers.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a lesson for you in persistence.
Uh-huh.
This guy emailed me, and I ignored him. And then he sent me a message on Facebook, and I ignored him. And then he sent Penn Cinema a message, and we ignored him. And then he sent me another email, and we ignored him. And he sent me one message on Facebook after another until finally I was like, I gave him, here's how you know if I'm, I almost said blowing off, but that's not the right word. Here's how you know if I want you to stop Facebook messaging me.
Mm-hmm.
I write you a note on Facebook that says, would you please contact me via email? My email is pen@penncinema.com. So I did that. And then he started emailing me at my email address. And here's the thing. The movie is 86 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
It's funny in a terrible way.
Have you watched it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. The trailer is funny in a terrible way. Yeah, yeah,
didn't,
yeah.
Didn't you watch it? Like, yeah. It's, and what I love about these guys is the balls they have. They are trying to make this movie, they're trying to associate themselves with Airplane and Naked Gun.
Right.
But since they have nothing to do with Airplane, they can't say from the writers of Airplane and Naked Gun or from the producers or the team that brought you Airplane and Naked Gun. So instead they say, just like Airplane or Naked Gun. Like to promote, like they use the words Airplane and Naked Gun in the promotion of their movie, even though they have nothing to do with Airplane or Naked Gun. So I watched this trailer and it looks absolutely ridiculous. But the movie is 86 minutes long, and I told the guy I would play it one show a day over Memorial Day weekend. And it's the nicest thing ever anyone's ever done for this group, and maybe it'll sell a ticket, and maybe it won't.
Are they local or what?
No, they're like – I have no idea where they are. Then, because it's not an interesting enough story, I get a message on Facebook from a whole other person who says I can't believe you're playing that movie. It's a Cop Thing. Did you know that the guy who ran sound for it was arrested and did jail time?
What? Why would you have that information?
Right. All right. So we spent way too long talking about this movie. I agreed to play this movie because I felt like it was a nice thing to do for an independent filmmaker. And I'm hoping that it's so terrible that it's funny.
What? Are you going to watch it?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I was going to say, if I make extra time to go see this movie and you don't.
Well, Marley graduates from college, much like The Shadow. She graduates on Saturday.
Whoa.
So I have a busy weekend ahead of me, so I probably won't watch it.
Whoa. Does she know The Shadow graduated before her? Maybe don't tell her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Marley.
Yeah. Hey, so the last trailer we've got, it's called Four Good Days. It stars Mila Kunis and Glenn Close, right? Glenn Close?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Now, this is a movie that looks like it's really heavy. The acting looks really good. The subject looks like I don't want to watch it because it's too much. It's about the girl has to stay sober for 4 days and then she can start taking a drug that will prevent her from getting high and have her get over her addiction. But those 4 days, she has to stay with her parents and it's an insane trip. This trailer for this movie could have been insanely touching because the acting looks great. Mila Kunis looks like she's doing an amazing job. Glenn Close, awesome. The problem with this is they just play some country song, like the whole song during the trailer. And it's just like, well, this song doesn't go with the beats of the trailer at all. Doesn't make any. It was like if the guys from It's a Cop Thing took this thing and was like, we'll make the trailer for it. And yeah.
You think it could have been better if the guys from It's a Cop Thing?
They actually, they had a better trailer than this movie.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have much to add about this. I don't like the detox movies. Whatever. 4 Good Days, like, how about 4 minutes? I mean, that's what, when you're getting sober, that's what it's about. So this movie makes it seem like, why can't she go 4 days? And whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's this movie. I agree with your assessment. The acting looks amazing. And if you're into like good heartbreaking drama, then you should definitely watch this trailer and you'll probably love this movie. But there's no chance in hell I'm watching this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks too tough. Speaking of a movie, there was no chance in hell in you watching.
Speaking of a tough, plot.
Yeah. All right. This week we split up to watch some movies. One of us didn't watch any movies, but it's fine because they both looked bad. I, on the one hand, spent an hour and 58 minutes watching Scoob.
I don't think Scoob is that long.
It felt like it. Yeah. It's not an hour and 58 minutes. It's an hour and so it's not a full 2 hours.
Okay.
I'll tell you that. I will tell you that I was not 15 minutes into this movie and I was already starting to get a headache. And not having a good time. And I pushed through the whole thing. Now, I love Will Forte. This movie almost made me hate him.
Oh my God.
He plays Shaggy the whole time. Every time he talked, I was like, he sounds like Shaggy, and I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like Scooby talking all the time. Like, I don't remember Scooby talking all the time. I remember talking to. So like the audience, but not necessarily like everyone understood him. I just the thing about the Scooby gang is like it was always this big thing, the mystery, whatever. At the end, it was always like somebody, right. You know. So it all turned out to be fake.
And I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you, rascally kids.
Right. They do that in the movie with some other things, but the main story actually involves magic, and like semi-supernatural things, and it's like, I don't look. If I was a young child, this movie didn't stop. There was no breathing. There was no right. Like constant one crazy thing to another. Put this in front of your 5-year-old, and they're going to be entertained.
Right.
Put this in front of your 38-year-old, and he's going to be bored out of his mind and wanting to leave.
What's the quote from last week? I'm already bored.
Yeah. So. Look, if you like this movie, that's great. It was not for me.
Here's the thing. I'm really sorry that it did not work out for me this week to watch Dream Horse. And I really thought I was gonna, because it's Monday night when we're recording, and usually that means that I can find time on Monday, but this is the Monday before Memorial Day weekend, so I was super busy dealing with all the studios and negotiating different what we're holding and not holding. So I did not get to see Dream Horse, but I believe in Dream Horse. Like I was actually, I probably will still see it. And I wish I had seen it, because then I could have told you that I made the good choice and you made the bad choice.
But all you got is me, buddy. Rubbing it in your face.
And I also want to share with you, while you were giving your review, I looked it up. That movie is not even an hour and a half long.
Get out of town. It wasn't 2 hours long. How long was it?
The credits begin at an hour and 27 minutes.
Oh, God.
It's not even an hour and a half.
It's too long. I felt like it was never going to end. At one point, because the visuals, like my head hurt, and I was just like, I can't even. It's just noise.
Well, you got that spectrum discophobia, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's called.
What's it called?
Synesthesia.
Synesthesia. You got the synesthesia. So this movie must have been really loud for you, right?
Yeah. And colorful. And I was just...
Yeah. Too much.
It was.
All right.
Moving on.
Well, I'll tell you what was not too much was the listeners' news, notes, questions, answers, and proverbial snacks. Chris Hall Productions sent in, I had seen it. I saw it. We watched Saturday Night Live Saturday night, and they did a skit at the end that took place. Did you watch this?
Yeah,
did he send in? Oh my God, so funny. I was howling. And I'm not even going to try to like do it justice, because it's like so many things with comedy that like if I explain it to you, I'm just going to butcher it. But the premise is they have a guy playing Vin Diesel, and he's talking about how he loves being at the movies. And it starts off like real sweet and like the big screen and the sound, but then he like keeps going like down to the minutiae of movie theaters, and he's like listing all these things that like, and he's totally making fun of movie theaters, but I have a good sense of humor about it. I know we're ridiculous, but like, it's just, what am I missing? How am I not explaining this right?
And it's the bird trapped in the lobby, and the car, and the Coke stains on the floor. Now that's just my impression of Vin Diesel. That wasn't actually him. Just to clear up.
I like when he's talking about the holes in the trash receptacles that are just a little bit too small for the popcorn. He's like, and the movie that's way too loud. Or not loud enough.
He's like, it's the movies, it's amazing. And then she's like, you have to put a mask on. He's like, watching movies at home without a mask is amazing.
So neither of us is doing justice, but on the Penn Cinema Facebook page, the Penn Cinema podcast Facebook page, didn't Chris post it there?
He did. He did.
It's definitely worth the 2 minutes to watch it. It's hilarious.
You know, there's been stuff going on at the Facebook page this week.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even put in the listener notes. Froyo hooked me up with, what was that, evidence of like a real hedgehog.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an actual – I thought that was just a like a Sonic Game Boy thing.
No, that's a real thing. I told you they're cute.
I know you told me that, but I didn't believe you.
Did you see how when you put them in water, they always paddle like that? They just like they just splish around. They're so adorable.
Well, I see that now, David.
Yeah, now you know.
Now I listen to our listeners, not necessarily you, because I feel like you set me up for things.
There you can go on our Facebook page and see how I asked Penn if he had seen the Spider-Man Far From or No Way Home trailer. To which he got really excited. He was like,
truly?
Is it amazing? And I said, yeah. And then I sent him a picture of an actual semi-trailer that was advertising Spider-Man No Way Home. I think your response was, oh my God, I hate you.
Nobody likes you.
Nobody likes you.
All right, so shout out to Jason, the Game Master.
Yeah.
For posting, he's been doing a nice job of posting trailer links onto our Facebook page. We love that. Thanks for doing that. But he raised some questions about movies and musicals in movies and this kind of stuff, and specifically asked me, what are your thoughts and experiences for the box office performance of these types of movies? He makes reference to the June 11th opening of In the Heights, the September opening of Dear Evan Hansen, the November opening of West Side Story, and a potential theatrical release of Hamilton, which, by the way, I am highly skeptical that that's going to happen. But that's not the point. The question was, what do I think about this box office performance? Here's what I think. Speaking as somebody who loves musicals, I love musicals in the movies. I love going to the Fulton down here in Lancaster, and I love going to Broadway. I love all the musicals. Kayla was in a lot of musicals, and I'm really excited that musicals have carved out for themselves their own successful genre in movie exhibition. Mm-hmm. So you have drama, you have comedy, horror movies, thrillers, based on a true stories, war movies, and musicals.
Yeah.
You know, and other types of genres. So my answer to your question is, you know, all of these movies are going to do differently. and I know he made reference in his email to seeing Les Mis in a packed Penn Cinema, and wasn't that awesome? I mean, I remember Marley saw Les Mis like 4 or 5 times over Christmas vacation that year. They some of these movies really, you know, even like, I mean, this isn't really a musical, but you could put like Bohemian Rhapsody in the bin, yeah, you know, of this type of movie. So my answer to your question is, I think they're going to continue to do well to the degree that which they are good. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sounds obvious and it sounds like I'm trying to be snarky, but like, we know the music's going to be good because we already know the movie. But I'll take, for example, the remake they did of Annie, Little Orphan Annie, with Jamie Foxx. And I don't know. I mean, I liked the movie, but I didn't love it. Yeah. And the box office performance was reflective of that. You know, it did fine, but it wasn't. Nobody was packing them in the way they were packing them in to see Les Mis. You know, so, and I'll just, one last note before I move off this topic. One of the special experiences I had was when they filmed Rent to become a theatrical release. My wife and I were invited, Amy and I were invited, and saw it on Broadway the night it was filmed. So that was a really special memory for us. And I think that kind of thing, now I know that's different than what we're talking about here, because that's just the filming of a Broadway show onto, which actually is consistent with Hamilton. So I think the Rent, which is just a performance of a Broadway show as compared to In the Heights or Dear Evan Hansen, which is a movie based on the musical, those are two different sort of approaches to this genre. But it's exciting times. If you love musicals, I think they're just going to keep getting better and better. But the answer to your question is, my expectations are the better the movie is, the better it will do at the box. And Annie is an example of a movie that I didn't think was great, and the box office reflected that.
They did do a movie version of Rent, and it's fantastic. I thought it was.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. But do you also remember that they released the...
Just the Broadway. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to walk us through this bonus trivia?
Okay, he's got bonus trivia. He says, what is the last movie musical to win Oscar for Best Picture? What do you think it is?
I'd have to say, what's the one where they're Sound of Music?
You're wrong. I can see the answer, so I didn't mean to, but it popped up. You want to give another guess? More current. I'll give you a hint.
Okay, please.
Right? This came out the same year that I graduated high school. Spider-Man 2, maybe?
I give up. I don't know.
Chicago.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
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 So... All right, moving on. What have you been doing? What have you been reading? What have you been, what's been going on with Penn in the real world?
You going right by Joel Codes?
Oh, my goodness, I did go right by. All right, Joel Codes, before we move on, I'm sorry, Joel. I just missed it. He had some thoughts for Penn's greeting. When someone says, live in the dream, it, to him, he just hears, every day I wake up wishing I was dead.
And if anybody is following the state of the Small Business Administration, the SBA's administration of the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant, which is a pretty wonky piece of legislation, which is intended to provide COVID relief to those of us who were shut down last year, it has been an absolute debacle. It's been an absolute train wreck. And the only thing worse than starving to death is... starving to death with somebody saying, I have a full meal for you, but it's just not ready yet. Ooh. I want to get it just right. The potatoes are still, they're just not quite ready. The steak is just not quite, you know, it's still a little bit pink.
Yeah.
Like, I'm dying. Like, we are every single month begging, negotiating, just trying to keep the banks off us for one more month. And we've been doing it month to month, day to day, not only since last March, but specifically for all of 2021, because they announced this COVID relief was on its way. They have yet the bill was passed by Congress 7 months ago.
Oh my gosh.
And they have still not administered the funds. And I can't even get into all the side stories about the nightmares of the application process, but it has been an incredibly stressful experience. And so that's why when people ask me how you're doing, I always say, like, living the dream. I'm living the dream. And there's a little note of sarcasm in there. But as we discussed at the top of the show, I'm going to try to just turn it around on them and be like, hey, how you doing? Maybe I could start with that. That's what I'm going to start with. How you doing? I'm going to just start with, you know.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good turnaround.
So, I'm not trying to act like crying in my beer or a victim or anything like that. I'm just saying it's been a tough year. That's all.
Yeah.
So what have I been up to? I'll tell you, I had a really pleasant surprise.
Okay.
I was flipping around and landed on the Disney Channel and I was face to face with Thor.
Like within inches, was there like a, are they going to kiss moment or what was going
on? Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so I rewatched Thor, the original 2011, and I probably haven't watched it in, what are we in now? That was 10 years ago that movie came out. I bet you I haven't watched this movie in 6 years.
Wow.
I forgot how good this movie is.
Wow.
Isn't that a good movie?
It is. Which kind of bleeds into one of the things that I did this week. I've been rewatching. I mentioned I go to a Marvel movie night. I've been rewatching the Marvel movies in order.
Yeah,
and we watched Avengers on Saturday.
Nice.
And it was the first time for some of these people seeing Avengers, and a couple of them were like, "I've seen this before," but they had never seen the movies in order, so they had no investment in the characters.
Right.
They had no idea what was going on. Somebody was just like, "Let's watch Avengers," and they put it in. But now that they've seen them. They're like, oh man, like I really like this. This is really good. I get who the characters are now. And then I felt really old because most of them were like, I was 10 when this came out. That's why I never saw it before. And I said, and then I just walked out, Yeah. So there was that aspect of the whole
kids
thing.
Kids are the worst.
I know, literally the worst. So, yeah. So that, kind of along the same way. It was amazing because I was like, this is so good. But like at the same time, like it's so weird seeing these characters not relate. Like I know how they're going to, like you're just so used to them having that mesh of like already knowing each other. Seeing, because Avengers, the first one is full of a lot of like, let's call them superhero meet cutes where they meet up and then they fight for 5 minutes before realizing that they should be buddies.
Right.
There's a lot of that going on. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter Rise, but that's about the gist of what I've been up to. So
Roger that. So, what do you want to do next week? We got two quality pictures to choose from.
Well, what's coming the week after next? Anything?
Not really. No.
So one of them can be that week.
All right. So we'll start out with Quiet Place 2, because that's going to be the number one.
That's going to be the
big movie this week.
So all right. So Quiet Place 2. I'm pumped. I'm all about it.
Are you? I'm a little bit surprised because I know you're not 100% keen on the scary movies.
Yeah, but I like this is a little bit. This is an alien movie.
Yeah,
which is
and
different.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah. So I'm all about like the alien horror is different than like a guy chasing you down the street with a knife.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right. So look, if you want to be a part of the show, the number one way you can do that. Shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. Number two way you can do it, hit us up on Facebook. We're on there. Everyone's on there. You can see Jason the Game Master posting up all our trailer links, so you can go check out the trailers. Thank you, Jason. That's amazing. We love it that you do that. But if you want to support the show, Penn, what is the number one way people can support the show?
Well, David, thank you for asking.
Okay, no problem.
Well, the number one way you could support the show would be to tell a friend.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's another thing happening.
Oh.
I don't know if you've been hearing this, you've been watching this.
I don't think I have.
This is a really interesting development. What people are doing now is they're starting their own podcasts. to talk about the Penn Cinema podcast.
Reaction podcasting.
It's happening. I mean, it's a real thing. I mean, I am booked every day with interview requests.
Oh my god.
Wanting
gosh.
Me to come get be on their show and talk about our show.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's what people are doing. So I mean, if you want to be cool like these other people, that's what you could do to support the show is start a reaction podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least live stream the show and react in, right. react in time on Twitch to the show.
I mean, I picture somebody reacting and they're like sound asleep.
It's like Encyclopedia Brown. The one night he's like, "So the podcast isn't coming out tonight. It'll be tomorrow." And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "What am I supposed to fall asleep to?"
Oh my god!
All right. Wait. Well, once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton,
and I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.